Welcome back to the Worthy Podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with the most incredible couple I've ever met, Johnny and Charlie, whose lives changed in the most unexpected and devastating way about 18 months ago. Johnny was surfing at Deepa here on the Gold Coast when a freak accident left him with a broken back and a severe spinal cord injury. And overnight, everything shifted for them. The dreams they had planned, the plans they were making, the future that they were building together all of a sudden came to a halt and looked completely different from that moment onwards. And yet, what you're about to hear is not a story about tragedy. It is a beautiful story about hope. It's a story about love. It's a story about the human spirit and what becomes possible when two people refuse to give up on each other. And Johnny is now doing things that doctors told him he would never do. Charlie is his pillar. She's not just his partner, but his anchor, his advocate. And their journey of healing together has been so beautiful to witness, where they've turned their pain into power and now started a mission called Enjoy Your Legs, which is a beautiful reminder to all of us to not take our bodies for granted, or our lives as well. So there are moments in this conversation that will absolutely inspire you, as it has for me. There will be moments that will break your heart, and there will be moments that will absolutely change the way that you think about your life, your body, your own resilience, your own possibilities, and what really matters in life. So I feel so honored to share this with you. Let's dive into this beautiful, honest, raw, and powerful conversation with Johnny and Charlie. Johnny, Charlie, welcome to the Worthy Podcast. It's such an honor and privilege to have you guys on the show. Thank you so much. I know you've mentioned previously that you've been invited to podcasts before, but it hasn't felt aligned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just as like a, I guess, intention-wise, why today, why here, why now? What's got you ready to share your story?
You want me to answer that
one? You go with that one.
Well, firstly, thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
I think that it's probably a bit of a timing thing for us to have been able to process and be able to articulate where we're currently at, but also what we've navigated over the last 18 months. And I think for me in particular, we openly share the journey, but I wouldn't say that I've shared my perspective or what that day was like, through my lens. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's been some nerves with mm-hmm. that, but I think we just really connect with your energy and mm-hmm. We're looking forward to sharing. I think if we've learned anything from sharing our journey through socials and meeting different people, that we can feel so connected mm-hmm. by sharing vulnerably, and I think it makes you feel a bit less alone and like there are other people out there that are in similar situations.
Truly, I'm so grateful. Thank you, because from the interactions that we've had and the conversations and even following your journey online, I know I've said this to you a million times, but I am so inspired by you both and just your journey, your story, but just like how you even show up. So even if we weren't having this conversation today, I know that I would be so just in awe of you regardless. Excited to get to know you guys better and have the world hear your story, because it's quite phenomenal where you are today in comparison to where you've been and what's happened. It really means the world to me for you to trust me and help share your story. So let's dive in.
Okay.
Before we get into the episode, maybe let's rewind back to before the incident.
Mm.
If I didn't know you guys, how would you explain Johnny and Charlie as a couple, as people?
We moved over here about 3.5 years ago to have a better life, opportunity, very entrepreneurial. The weather, love getting outside and at the beach, go for walks. There's great hinterlands here, which we did a lot of walking. Mm. I don't know. Yeah, very outgoing and social and business orientated as well. I don't know, just sort of out there doing it. Yeah.
What did you do for work?
I was a carpenter.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I did my trade in New Zealand and then came over here, and it's pretty transferable.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working as a chippy, and then I was running my own business for the last few months.
Amazing.
And yeah, Charlie was working for herself.
Yeah, tell us about what you do, Charlie.
Yeah, it was interesting, actually. I was in a bit of a transition period at the time of Johnny's accident, but moving over here, I had been running my own coaching business. So that was a lot of my clients actually were in Australia or the UK, and the time difference was a lot better for me than with New Zealand, which was amazing. But I had been working in a wellness space in Brisbane. I'm also a Pilates instructor. So lots of different things. But I was in the process of, I was still coaching one-on-one, but, yeah, releasing a membership and a podcast, ironically, that we're here today. big transition period, I think, to lean on what Johnny has said. Our whole life was quite active. Like on the weekends, you would find us often doing things and adventuring. I think the biggest difference, this question actually really stumped me when we were going over this, because it's actually really hard to remember what it felt like.
Even though it was like 18 months ago.
Yeah. I was like, I can't even, I struggle sometimes to look at pictures because I don't even recognize myself. Yeah. And yeah, but I think we were two fiercely independent individuals, and we had a really beautiful partnership. We were freshly engaged and just really excited, I think, for that next stage of life, like talking about buying property. Obviously Johnny said he'd just gone out by himself, so yeah, really in that season of building and creating new things and building that foundation for family down the track and things like that. So yeah, I think where we were, and I mean, like the night before Johnny's accident, we were literally talking about how grateful we were for our life and our friends, and yeah, so proud. It was a big thing that you'd gone out by yourself in terms of work, and yeah, I think just reflecting on where we were before we were going to go home.
Yeah. How did you guys meet? Tell me about the engagement as well, because I've seen videos. It looks dreamy.
We met in a small beach town called Whangamata.
In New Zealand?
Yeah, in New Zealand, yeah. We were both working a summer job, and I was cooking pizzas as a pizza chef, and Charlie was working front of house.
This is so romantic. Oh, I love it.
But no, we both holidayed in that beach town. It's like one of our favourite places.
Beautiful.
Went there every summer, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the engagement was perfect, really. Like, it was one of those days where everything just went to plan. Even though there wasn't like a fully mapped out plan, everything just like fell into place. So we were skiing in Hakuba up Mount Iwataki.
Love Hakuba.
And it was like a bluebird day. Charlie was like already frothing the day, like was just repeatedly saying like, this is the best day ever. And like, I hadn't even proposed yet. And so it was just like the cherry on top, really. And then managed to get into like a really booked out dinner place that night too, which I don't know if you've been to Hybrid before in Hakuba.
Yeah, tiny.
The best food.
Yeah.
But it is tiny. There's only like a few tables.
So you know that
there.
Big table in the middle?
The big long one.
Yeah, the only table that kind of seats more than four people.
Yeah.
So we, after the engagement, had like champagne and celebrated with people that were there. And then me and Charlie's younger brother just started calling around. Like, there was like a booklet in the chalet that we're staying in, and we just started calling around. It was the second place that we tried, and they're like, funnily enough, we've just had a cancellation five minutes ago for the big table in the middle. Like, the table's yours. I was like, sweet, lock it in, because everywhere else is like jam-packed. Like, the little, I can't remember what it was called, but across from where we were staying was completely booked out. And that was just sort of like a small pub kind of vibe.
Wow.
But yeah, that was just like, yeah, amazing day. The food there is incredible.
Lots of wine and I've had some good times in there.
It's just so special that, yeah, my whole family, we're on a family holiday, with my family, and it was just amazing to, I'm very close with my family, so it was so special to have them all there for that and to be able to all celebrate. Together.
Are you familiar with Mount Iwatake?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how there's that picturesque spot, the cafe or whatever?
Yes.
So when I was kind of planning it, I was like thinking at the end of that little boardwalk photo op would be a great spot. I didn't realise that there's a whole cafe that like faces out that way. And one of Charlie's biggest things is like,
don't do it
in front of like a bunch of people. And so Maddie, Charlie's sister, was in on it, and we were kind of like scoping it out as we're going up there. We were just like, no, we can't do it here. But Charlie's dad was in on it as well. And he was kind of being like, oh, do you want to photo? Like, being like a little bit out of character and like, oh, do you want to do it like here kind of thing? Yeah, it was pretty funny.
You didn't want like 100 people eating their ramen to watch it go down?
And Johnny went really quiet too. I think I didn't registered that's what was happening, but I knew that something was up because I've been skiing since I was two. My dad used to be a ski patroller.
Yeah.
And yeah, we don't normally like stop for like lookouts.
Right. You're pro. You don't need it.
Yeah. You just get off. I was like, oh, maybe that's something we do in Japan. Like, we just stop for lunch, and everyone was really keen to keep skiing because we were having such a good day.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is so random, and then you went really quiet.
Yeah, we were sitting down having ramen at lunch and a couple of beers, and then there was another spare beer, and I was like, yep, I'll have that one.
Bit
of liquid confidence gone, and then, yeah, we were about to go skiing again, and I don't know how. I think your brother was like, what are we doing?
Like, yeah, Ollie had his skis on. He was ready to go, and Dad was like, we're going to
go have a look at this, like, silly lookout thing with the big, I don't know, that swing thing that's there.
Awesome.
But still with that perfect, like, look up the valley.
Well, the video is beautiful. That's why I had to ask. Because it looks gorgeous. Nice. Sounds like a gorgeous day.
Very memorable day.
Good work, Johnny.
Thank you.
Romantic. Mr. Romantic. And I remember you saying that you guys were actually headed to New Zealand to go celebrate your engagement the day before. The day after
we were due to fly out,
day after the accident,
So
let's fast forward to that day. Mm. What was the day like? Like, what? How did it start?
Yeah, started kind of like any other day. Get up, made Charlie a coffee. I had avocado on toast. And then I got a message from a client saying that he couldn't meet me at the time that he was supposed to, which is normally around 7 o'clock. So I think that got pushed to about 9. And whenever that happens to me, I'm like, perfect, I can go check the waves, go for a surf before I have to be there. So I headed to Diba and hadn't even told Charlie, like, that I was doing that. It was sort of a, last minute.
We had left for work.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie just thought I was off to work. Last minute, little early morning surf, and it pulled up, and it was like one of those days you're like, awesome, getting in, like you don't have to really look at it too long. And just got out there, first wave of the day came through and paddled for it, took off too deep, basically didn't make the drop, and got sucked over the lip, smashed into the sandbar.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like directly on my back, legs above me. I think there was not a lot of water where I landed, partly due to the lip kind of dispersing the water before I got there. And also that's a fairly shallow section of that beach. And then immediately just knew, just like, it was just like a big clunk. And then kind of shock set in and Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of a bit of like a surreal moment, not knowing what was going on. And you do, like, when you take a big wipeout like that, you don't really ever think that you're going to get seriously hurt.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're playing in water kind of thing. Mm. But, yeah, came up, did, like, a once over, and I was like, oh, just nothing down there. Can't feel anything. And then luckily enough, I had a surfer nearby. I was kind of like groaning from just the impact, and yeah. I got a bit winded. I had a couple broken ribs and a pneumothorax, so a punctured lung. And so I was like kind of groaning in shock, not knowing what was going on. And the surfer came over, he's like, "You're all good?" And I was like, "Not all good." And then he's like, "What's happened?" And I was like, "I can't feel my legs." And so he swam over and started like swimming me out deeper so that the the next waves of the sets wouldn't sort of wash me into the rocks. And then, yeah, it was just, yeah, I was kind of like, oh, no. I'll just like stuff up our plans to go back to New Zealand because I knew something was pretty seriously wrong at that moment.
Yeah. And where were you, Charlie? You were just at work?
I was at home. Yeah, the to-do list from that day versus what happened is very weird to look at. But, yeah, Johnny hadn't been gone that long from home. He'd said goodbye off to work. And I was in the bathroom getting ready for the day. And my phone rang and it was Johnny. Well, it was Johnny's number. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember I answered the phone and I said, "Hey, handsome." And it wasn't him on the end of the line. It was Scott, who is, yeah, a good friend of ours now. He was one of the guys that rescued Johnny. And he said to me, "Oh, is this Charlie?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Your partner Johnny has been in an accident. He's been crushed by a wave and he can't feel his legs." And because he had... I was like trying to process not the can't feel the legs part, but what did wave mean in terms of like a car accident or if he was on site. Yeah. And I was kind of going wave, like not, wave. Yeah, I wasn't, I was yeah, like, I don't understand.
Terminology.
Yeah, wave. I was like, I don't really understand that. Yeah, literally that terminology. And then he kind of kept speaking and I just remember saying, you know, like, "Thank you so much." He was kind of explaining that they'd got him in and that he was going to need to pass me over to the police. And, yeah, I just said, "Thank you so much." And I took down his number. And it's, like, in my journal upside down because I quickly grabbed, I guess, a pen and the paper that I had. And they, yeah, put me over to the police. And she was explaining that they were going to take Johnny's keys and phone to the Tweed police station. And I said, "Oh, where are you? Like, are you at D-Bar?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Can you wait for me?" I said, "I can be there in like 6 minutes. We lived in Kerra at the time. And so I literally just chucked on. I had the randomest items of clothing on. I still look back and I'm like, that's just like jeans, sports bra, you know, like just you just whatever. Quickly, like whatever was there. And, yeah, got myself to D-Bar. And I arrived, I've been back a few times since, but when I arrived, I pulled up and the helicopter was landing and it's like the big grass patch at D-Bar. Mm. And there was, it was a pumping day in the surf, so there was people everywhere. Yeah. There was maybe like four police cars, multiple ambulances, the helicopter landing, and then Johnny was coming in the ambulance. And I went up to one of the police and I said, "Hi, like I've just got off the phone with one of your colleagues. That's my partner coming in the ambulance."
What a day.
Huge. Yeah, I only saw Johnny for... Yeah. It was really short. I was trying to give just like medical history and birthday and all of those kind of things. I have a list in my phone of all the names of the paramedics and the pilot and, yeah, police. And then, yeah, I saw you for maybe 20 seconds. And I just said, everything's going to be okay. Like, I'll follow you. And basically, yeah, Johnny got put into the helicopter. And I went with the police home, took the cars home. And then, yeah, I walked in the door and I called my mum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just remember I had to tell a lot of people that day, but I said, are you sitting down? Because no one expects, you know,
that phone call.
What, yeah, what you're about to say. And I was on FaceTime, like she knew, she answered the phone really excitedly, because we're obviously due to go home the next day. And it was so lucky that she even answered, because she's at work on a Tuesday. Mm. And yeah, she knew instantly something was wrong. And then, yeah, she was on the phone with me most of the day. I had to pack. A paramedic said to me, you've got to go home and you've got to pack a really big bag for yourself and you've got to pack a really big bag for Johnny. So, yeah, I went home and I packed bags. Packed really well, actually, we joke.
So well.
Yeah, had to make a few phone calls and, like, let people know and then... Yeah, got in the car and I drove myself to Brisbane.
Wow. Yeah. And what was it like for you, like, in the helicopter on your way up?
I was frozen. Yeah. So I was so cold. I recall it being, like, half an hour to 45 minutes that I was in the water before I got inland.
Yeah, wow.
But I don't think it was actually that long.
Time just... it. Must have just walked for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So obviously have to cut your wetsuit off, get you dry.
Yeah.
Those silly little emergency blankets which don't do much.
Don't do anything.
yeah, so I don't know. I kind of went into a zone after it happened, and the people that were with me out there can attest to this, but I just started focusing on my breathing.
Amazing.
I recognised pretty fast that I had to do that or else I was just going to freak out. Oh, gosh, I wasn't planning on getting emotional about it.
To be able to tell yourself, okay, I've just got to breathe, like in a moment like that, is crazy, like hyper-awareness, because most people just go into shock and they don't have the self-awareness or the ability to, you know, get themselves off out of that flight or fight stage.
Yeah, well, like, if we're talking about hyper-awareness, like Charlie's jotting down paramedics' names, like policemen's names, like calm and steady, like, throughout this whole thing. I joke about it all the time, like
I love how you've named so them organized. In your posts, like that's something I've noticed, like you always use the name and like thank you to this pilot and thank you to this paramedic and like you actually use their names, like in a moment like that I would not be picking up little details like that. So incredible. I
packed a good bag, like
amazing. Of course you did.
Yeah, just things like that. So
wow, well thank you for sharing. It's unfathomable.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole podcast on that day
if
we wanted to. But there's,
when the doctors first spoke to you about your spinal cord injury, what did they say? Like, what was the prognosis, quote unquote?
I think Charlie probably got more of that before me. Like, I basically got rushed into an MRI. And then they were like, yeah, we'll bring you back out before your surgery, which was kind of inevitable. And then they called Charlie straight after the MRI and were like, we're taking him straight in. And I think there was a lot of rogue things that were said, which were not true, around spinal cord, even from the professionals, you know, they still, there's still, yeah, a lot of education to be had around that, even from a doctor's point of view.
Yeah, like I mean,
the prognosis, yeah, what did you get told?
Well, I think even if we go back one step, on that day, like, this is Johnny's greatest fear in life come true. So I knew when I arrived the importance, I guess, of staying calm in that whole situation. But, yeah, I arrived at the hospital. You called me, or the nurse called me, asking how far away I was. And at that point I was still maybe half an hour away from the ER. And I arrived, maybe got to see you for 5 minutes, and then you got taken to that MRI.
Yeah.
I went to move the car, and in that time, yeah, I got a call, and they basically, yeah, they like needed, well, they had your consent, but they just wanted to make sure it was okay to take him without me. And I said, you just please do what you can do. And I said, ultimately, like, do what you need to do. But I guess they said to me, and Johnny couldn't breathe properly because of his punctured lung.
Pneumothorax, yeah, it's hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Your lung is deflating.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, they just said, yeah, we can't make any promises, basically. They didn't know if he would come out of surgery, make it through surgery. They were just going to do the best that they could. So I went back to the ED and I got taken into a room. Basically, as Johnny was saying, like, sat through this meeting. I'd asked about, for us, like, a big thing for us is wanting to start a family, and I guess that was the season of life that we were in, I guess, celebrating engagement, you know, wedding, wanting to purchase property and start talking about having a family. And I asked about, I guess, sperm retrieval or what we could do, understanding that he, yeah, I guess at that point in time had no sensation or movement below his belly button.
Yeah.
And the doctor basically laughed at me, which shouldn't have happened. Their priority ultimately was obviously his spine.
His and
I and said, yeah, and I completely understood that. And also, which I'd said, but I said, I have to ask the question, like, the questions.
Yeah.
The head of the spinal unit actually 3 months later has said to me, that's probably one of the more intelligent things that you could have asked, like, in that moment. But, yeah, they basically just told me that the damage had been done. He would not make any type of recovery. And I guess at that point you don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have, again, my notes is very interesting, the things in my notes, because I guess I was taking a lot of notes to be able to pass on back to New Zealand, information. But ultimately when you came out of surgery that night, so that was at, like, lunchtime, and I didn't see Johnny till 11:30 that night. After you'd come out of surgery, and the diagnosis or the prognosis that you got was a complete spinal cord injury, which doesn't mean that he didn't sever his spinal cord, but more or less what that means is that he didn't have any movement or sensation below his point of injury. And for, I guess, what they said to us, they used to come around every day and say, nothing will come back. You'll never walk again.
They do the doctor's rounds and you're, like, half out of it. And they're like, this is so-and-so. He suffered a traumatic back injury or whatever. And, like, they talk about you and you're, like, right.
You're
there,
right there.
And they're saying,
like,
manner
is just a trope. I've worked in the medical field. I know what you're talking about. It's atrocious.
Like, right.
sometimes, not all the time, but that's unfortunate. It's frustrating because it's almost like it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're hearing what they're saying, and it becomes like your mantra, like or it can become like your repetitive thought pattern.
Well, I said to one of the nurses, must have been, and it was only in like week 2, because they would have this, they would do the rounds before I would get there. And this was like early, like they'd come around like 6:30 in the morning. And I said, oh no, he's not complete or something. I think when you're at the beginning, there's so much terminology that is getting thrown around. And we say it's been a full education, and for our good friends and, my family too. But
on spinal cord injuries, like learning all the ins and outs.
And, what those terms mean.
Because there's like a complete and then there's a partial from
They classify complete and incomplete, and then within that you're an ASIA scale. So there's like A, B, C, D, and I think E is like a regularly functioning human.
Yeah.
So A is no feeling, no sensation below.
Right.
B is sensation but no movement. C is, it's like a combination or one or the other. You have like partial sensation or partial movement back.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of gradually improves from there.
And they told you that you were just never going to feel or...
Yeah, so I was a complete ASIA A.
Yeah, right.
Which is the worst.
But you've defied all odds, and
definitely doing stuff that, if you listen to that prognosis, I shouldn't be able to do.
Tell us, like, what type? Because I mean, I've been following, so I see and I celebrate all the little leg twitches.
I've got a lot of strength and movement back in my hip flexors.
Amazing.
I've got flickers and like strength building in my glutes. My quads are coming back on board as well. So, like being able to crawl is pretty impressive at the moment. That's like probably the biggest achievement that I've done. I know that I'm getting like small bits of sensation back. So deep fascial touch, kind of like feels like guitar strings when I'm playing around with my calves and hammies and stuff. Like I can feel it running up and down my legs.
Yeah.
I have slight temperature feeling.
Oh, cool.
Like if it's very hot or very cold, I will eventually know that it's that temperature.
Yeah. And these are all things that shouldn't.
Yeah, I should just be completely from hips down or higher, actually, like belly button down. I constantly have pins and needles sensation from my hips down.
Yeah.
So it feels like, the way I say it to people is if you've like whacked your funny bone and you've got tingling, numb sensation. Yeah.
That's not a funny feeling.
No, nah. It's not.
That's not what you're feeling right now.
Yeah. I think, you kind of get used to it. Like if you tune into your body, you're like, it's still feeling like that. But, and then you get nerve pain occasionally.
Yeah.
I'm pretty lucky with my nerve pain compared to some people, just in constant.
I've heard it's constant for some people. Yeah.
Mm.
What do you think has led you to this point in your recovery where you are doing things that the doctors told you would never happen? Is it mindset, belief? Is it the therapies that you're doing?
Yeah, I think majority of it is mindset. And I've had this amazing human here sitting next to me, speaking so much life over me, positivity, belief in yourself. I would say it's like a 70-30 to the physical, rehab side of things. It's really interesting to observe my body when I'll have a big chat with Tay about something that's going on. Tay from the Native State, shout out.
Legend.
Absolute guru. We'll have a coaching session where it's, just a chatting session, and he's so knowledgeable and how everything sort of ties in energetically, and we'll have a big chat about something and work through an area mentally and emotionally, and it'll unlock something physically in my body, like
insane.
Within 24 hours.
I've had the pleasure of working with him, so I know exactly what you're talking about. We've actually had his episode just before you guys.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to listening to that.
Yeah, he is phenomenal. I'm so happy that you guys are doing therapy with him. Yeah. And I know you have a really amazing team of other therapists with different modalities.
Yeah.
I think something that's been really inspiring for me is how you guys share your journey of what's going on, because you share the duality of the situation really vulnerably and raw. Like you, one day you'll be sharing about how like you're having these massive wins with your recovery, and then in the next breath it's like the duality of grief and like the life you guys had and what life looks like now. I think you said once, Charlie, in one of your posts, like you can experience so many things at once, like so many emotions. You can have gratitude and grief and sadness and happiness. You can be like grateful in one moment, and in the next you can just be so frustrated and like, why? So I guess I want to like ask you guys about that polarity, like what's it like living in that, and maybe share like an example of like what that looks like for you guys.
Just before we do that, do you reckon we could I'm just getting a bit cold.
Oh, of course. Yes, that's turning AC off.
You know what? I'll give you the control.
Oh, thank you. Is it just off now?
Okay. Yeah, because you're like right underneath.
I didn't think of that. I just went for the quickest, the easiest chair.
And like one thing with a spinal cord injury is your temperature regulation is just shot.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
So
it's not shot. You're just not working on it.
It's like delayed, I would say. Like,
I love the language.
You don't know you're getting to one extreme until you're like
until
at it.
Until you're there.
So you're kind of like.
Can I ask why? Like, I actually didn't know that was a thing with spinal cord injuries. Is it because of the nervous system not having constant communication with the brain, or something
like that? I think I'd say it has to do with blood flow a bit as well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But, yeah, I'm not 100% sure why it actually happens. I guess it's the communication between the temperature of what your lower half of your body's doing.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Because I can be, like, fine up top,
yeah,
like nice and comfy, and then my legs get cold, which will then make me cold.
Of course, yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah, there's so many things, I think, that are not seen or hidden with a spinal cord injury. And I guess, yeah, we share your experience in that. But I think a huge lesson that we've learned is everyone's presents so differently.
Yeah.
And like what, where that level is, and then within that like level in your spine, then what motor and what sensory pathways are impacted, because it can just it's so different. It's all so all individual.
They say it's like a fingerprint, like every spinal cord injury is unique.
I know like education around spinal cord injury is something that you guys are really passionate about and really want to kind of get out there. I think it's like conversations like this that help people understand
totally,
because when you're not in a situation like what you guys are in, like you just, people just have no idea. And I know we've spoken off mic about just like things people say that are you're like, what?
I think it's hard though, because it's like we say, it's like very unique, so there's no like one blanket thing for one person saying like, oh, this person doesn't sweat below his injury. This person does. Like,
My gosh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got the. I kept my. I shouldn't say unfortunately. Fortunately, I still sweat below my injury. It would be nice to not sweat as much as I do.
We just say
but
that
it's a positive sign.
That is good. Yeah,
it's your legs are working hard. Yeah. Giving you feedback.
Yeah, especially when I'm doing rehab, I get like crazy neural sweats, like I'm just dripping.
Wow.
Even if it's not
a hard
Yeah, so that's a positive sign, isn't it, darling?
Yeah, we celebrate all the little things. We have we have a group chat called Johnny's Walking Out of Here with my family. And yeah, language has been a really big thing for us.
I've noticed you are so good at reframing, even like off mic, like I've heard, like just the way you speak is phenomenal. And I believe it's a big part of
yeah,
this whole situation. Yeah.
Where the mind goes, the body flows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always been huge. I'm not necessarily perfect at it, but
I don't think any of us are perfect, Holly.
I definitely have, like, definitely catch yourself, which is, like, probably the most important part.
Yeah.
Instead of just continuing to speak negatively or maybe just not in a positive manner.
Yeah.
Correcting yourself and going, no, actually, that is like a blessing or that is something positive that's happening.
That's what I love about you. I mean, you have every excuse to not be like that.
Yeah.
Yet you show up like wanting to change your language and catching yourself out. Like that's why I was so drawn to you both, because watching it is just, it's phenomenal. And I think as well, for anyone out there who is in a maybe not a exact same situation but a similar situation where they're in like a really dark season of life, like what would be your biggest piece of advice to them if, you know, it's the language that they're getting caught up in and their belief systems or, yeah, like what would you say to someone who is going through something similar?
I think it's just important to keep going, you know, like you're going through why would you stop in the middle, you know, like bad days don't last forever, bad times don't last forever. So just put one foot in front of the other and, times will get better. Focus on the good things that are going well for you. Yeah, gratitude's a big one for us. Just stay in there.
Great words.
Yeah.
And the group chat name, I love it, as well as I think I saw you guys have a playlist called Johnny's Walking Out Here.
We have multiple playlists, yeah.
Tell us about that vision of you walking again.
So every night before I fall asleep, I have the same vision and I'm walking or running down. Do you know, like, Vikings, Currumbin Beach Strip?
Yeah.
For some reason, that's just where my mind goes and I'm just running down there. I think I might be even running to Currumbin Point for a surf or something. The vision is very much walking, running, getting back to life, dancing in the kitchen with Charlie. It's like one of our favourite things that we used to do. It's holding that vision, holding that belief, and like I said before, where the mind goes, the body flows. So,
yeah, I wholeheartedly believe it.
Yeah.
I think a big thing for us is so much of what our life is like at the moment, and I think same with, you know, a lot of us. Like, there's so much that is outside of your control. And so I think a big thing with the language and with everything that we do is what we can control and how we can respond in those ways. That's where we put our energy and our focus. And, yeah, I think that's a big thing. And I think that's where the gratitude and the hope and the positivity comes, because the alternative is pretty dire. I mean, we say, you know, things are really challenging in our day to day, and I think we're pretty honest about that.
Yeah.
But if we focused entirely on that, you know, I don't think either of us would get out of bed in the morning. So we choose to focus on, what's within our control. Like Johnny said, keep on going. I guess the best is yet to come has been a big saying too. Yeah. We believe that better days are coming.
Yeah, I love it.
Mm.
Well, let's actually talk about Enjoy Your Legs. Perfect segue, because you've got the T-shirt on. I've got a T-shirt down here, which I'm so pumped about. Yep. Thank you. I've got the hat. I wear the hat everywhere.
Amazing, yeah.
The amount of people that love the hat, the 333. Let's talk about Enjoy Your Legs. So this is a really beautiful business that you guys have started to support and fund Johnny's recovery and therapies and things like that. Where did the name come from? Enjoy Your Legs.
I think Charlie was going for a walk one morning and I just said, go and enjoy those legs. You know, I like made the most of them. Like, awesome to see you going out there and going for a walk and,
yeah,
you know, still doing those things. So that kind of just hung around, and then I started playing around on Adobe Illustrator, and yeah, so then cool. We had the logo. But where this one came from was
because that came before.
So this is the original, yeah, like shirt, and it was never even intended to sort of become or evolve into
a thing,
brand, really.
Yeah.
It was more of a way of supporting the adaptive surfing that I was taking part in, and the costs are involved around that.
And if I just add into, I think we've been really blessed with people's investment in our journey and support and generosity. And it was also a way that people could be involved. We're obviously from New Zealand, so we have a lot of, yeah, like family and friends in New Zealand as well as here. Mm. And so, yeah, it was kind of something that everyone could be involved in, even if they couldn't come,
yeah,
to Byron, which was where the intention,
yeah,
kind of came from, as well as obviously being able to support financially.
Yeah.
Because I think something that most people don't see is that the treatment and all the logistics behind the scenes, like, you guys aren't financially supported by Australia or New Zealand at the moment. Mm. Can you walk us through that and why? Like, I want to understand why there's no funding there from either governments.
We fall into a very rare grey area. So how long we've been out of New Zealand for doesn't qualify us for ACC, which is the equivalent to NDIS here.
Mm-hmm. And also because you had your accident here.
And because my accident happened, mm-hmm, here, yeah. And then we haven't been in Australia for long enough to get our citizenship,
wow,
which is the main requirement to getting NDIS.
Right.
So, yeah, it's 4 years before you can get your citizenship here. As a Kiwi, like, you come over here, you have this understanding or perception that we're kind of like brother, sister,
yeah,
countries,
that's what,
and
I
you're
thought
treated equally. Mm. And it's actually kind of a bit more one-sided than you think. So you guys come to New Zealand, you'll be fine.
Wow.
You don't have to, like, worry, mm, about any of that sort of stuff. ACC will cover you as long as,
wow,
your injury happened there and things like that. So, yeah, I guess as well as the learning curve of a spinal cord injury, we've learned a lot around, yeah, the funding side of things. And
yeah, because, like, what does it take, like, cost-wise – for something like this? I mean, I know there's a lot of therapies involved, but I'm sure there's so much more behind that.
Mm. Yeah, in the first year, they say it's around $500,000 for a spinal cord injury. And a lot of that is equipment, and your care is a lot more intensive, I would say, in those first, that first year. And housing's a big one, being able to get suitable housing, mm-hmm, for your needs. Yeah, and then the following years, I think it drops off to me around half of that per annum.
You guys are funding that on your own. That is just...
We're funding what we can, yeah, and prioritising.
That's important.
Yeah.
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 That, it's mind-boggling to think that, because it's just like the last thing that you would think, mm, would be your reality in something, mm, like this. So I think it's really clever, and I love the... enjoy your legs movement, because not only are you raising awareness about spinal cord injury, you're actually also making people stop and just be grateful for not just their legs, but be grateful for your fingers, for your eyes,
yeah,
for your ears, for your lungs, mm, for your, like, there's been so many moments where I've seen a post that you guys have done, and it just, like, it just stops me in my tracks for a sec, mm, and it just, and I think, I don't know if you guys realize you do that, but it is one of those, like, I live for the feed where, like, you guys are popping up, because there's always such a beautiful lesson or something really cool that you're learning. But what started out as just a T-shirt,
yeah,
has kind of evolved into something so much bigger. Mm. Tell me about, like, the first launch of the tee and the results and what happened, and, mm, yeah, did it take you by surprise?
Oh, absolutely by surprise. Like... completely, yeah, like completely and utterly blown away. We were, in tears and just so, so overcome.
Did it sell out?
Gratitude.
They sold out in half an hour. Oh my gosh.
Mm. And we were sitting there and I think within the first 5 minutes we were out of stock of one of the most popular sizes.
Yeah. I wish we had the notification,
Shopify
or cha-ching, cha-ching. I wish we had that set up when we first did it because
we didn't know how to do that.
It would have been nonstop. We didn't know.
But, yeah, we realised we hadn't ordered enough.
Yeah. Quality problem.
Yeah, but I guess, the feedback that we'd been given with the legends that have supported us, they're Kiwis as well, to, I guess, create the T-shirts, they kind of said, that's quite we'd ordered 100.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I guess a lot.
That felt like a lot when we were investing that.
100%. When you need to invest money into other things that are going to help you.
Yeah.
100 T-shirts is a lot.
Yeah. And so then we put them on pre-sale and the pre-sale sold out within a few days, I think it was, after that. So there was another 100 T-shirts on the way. Yeah. And it's just really continued. That momentum has very much continued with hats and, now hoodies, other styles of T-shirts. And I feel like I'm going to get emotional. It's so humbling that people choose to invest their money because that's not just a T-shirt for us. And I think it's like you do write a few of them, but we handwrite every card and it's not just a name. Like, that's someone that, those names, those orders, they mean so much to us. And I think that, on really dark days, you're reminded that there are people cheering for you all around the world. I think that's the craziest thing. We've had stories of everyone went to Euro Summer and took their merch with them. Of all the things you also have in your wardrobe.
Beautiful.
That you've chosen to also pack that. And bumped into people in Europe and were like, oh my gosh,
we recognize the shirts
and conversations.
Like, what was like hearing about that? What goes through your mind when you're like, someone in Europe is wearing our stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just surreal.
I haven't really comprehended it properly yet.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I think there's been a few occasions outside of Making Strides where I've seen someone wearing our stuff and it still doesn't register.
Like, why are you wearing my stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the conversations that it starts to. I guess there are stories that people share with us and then it's realizing there are so many conversations that are happening that aren't shared with us that we're not aware of. And, I think even, ordering your coffee and someone being like, oh, what does that mean on your hat? Or, what does love that saying? Or someone came up to one of our friends and said, oh, I really needed that today. Like, the best is yet to come. Not even registering. So,
that's the best part about it, is the conversations that it started and the awareness that it brings. People just sort of stare at the logo and they're like, what?
Yeah.
And then that starts a conversation and it's really cool to see, actually.
Well, you guys have done some amazing things to raise funds. Like, not only do you have the merch, but you've done some fundraisers. Like, I saw you guys, you had a friend who just ran, so far.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, I've had some amazing people
Capital to Coast,
step
it?
Up and do some runs and fundraising and stuff. But that was Lincoln. He attempted to run from Canberra to Deba in 16 days.
Wow.
So it was 1,200 Ks in 16 days was the little catchphrase that we used. Averaging 75 kilometres a day. So just short of 2 marathons a day.
Far out.
And he didn't quite get there, but as a team, like the support team jumped in, I think, just a little over halfway, and they ended up finishing it, which is like still, I think they're all at least running half a marathon a day each for the last 5 or 6 or 7 days. So just a massive shift from those guys. They're incredible. Love them.
So much generosity. Yeah. Do you guys experience that a lot? Like just like those moments of like people are just being so beautiful and so nice. Like does that kind of give you a little bit of hope? And
totally, yeah. And, yeah, definitely gives you hope and humanity as a overall, yeah.
Mm.
There's been a few other cool football fundraiser events back in New Zealand. So a bunch of the football community got together and organised sort of like a charity football match alongside like some auctions and raffles and that kind of stuff. And we've also had, some grateful to have some donations from people on the GoFundMe, and some crazy amounts have come through on that too.
Well, beyond the merch, what are some really great ways that people can support you? I know there's the GoFundMe, which I'll have the link in the show notes, as well as Enjoy Your Legs, How to Work with Charlie, if you want to be coached by an amazing mindset guru. But what are other ways that people can support you?
It's a great question. I think those are probably the main ways. Blank now.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think as well, like it's, I know for me, when I'm not in a position, when I am in a position where I need to ask for help, I find it really difficult. Like it's not something that comes very natural.
I think that's part of it. Like it's very much not in my nature to be like, do this or do that, or I want that, or I need this, or, you know, and that's something we've had to learn is to how to accept
and receive
help and people want to help.
I think things that I can think of in my hope and wish would be, you know, if there are any therapists or anyone in like the space that are in the spinal cord injury space, like if they can offer any assistance, like would that be of benefit, any therapies, things like that. An anonymous large amount of money. But I remember you saying as well, Charlie, like even just like the simple littlest things like meals.
I was going to say,
meals, a cleaner. Take some of the pressure off Charlie.
Yeah, because not only are you like the admin person, the marketing person, the social media person, like you're also Johnny's partner and carer. And it would be remiss of me not to highlight this. I think this is really important to talk about because, like, from what I understand, being in a relationship and then also being a full-time carer, like, that's a lot to hold. Tell us about, like, that as well. What's that like for you and how do you guys keep the spark alive?
I think if you've cared for a partner before, then I guess I just want to say I see you because it's the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. I think I was chatting with someone that works with carers about some things that I was, feeling, I guess, challenged by. And the thing is that being a carer and being a partner, they clash. They don't really go together because ultimately as a carer your needs don't really matter. And I think I realized pretty early on, like probably day one, that I was going to need to put my stuff to the side to show up, I guess, how I wanted to, how I recognized that Johnny was going to need me to show up and for, I think just what was required ultimately. Like I think it's kind of what we alluded to before, like the admin that comes and especially I think for us because we didn't land anywhere, like we didn't go through any of the normal channels that you normally would. The time spent trying to exhaust, like I've exhausted all, like all options that could have been possible, I think, in terms of funding or support or where we could, yeah, access different things. But yeah, it's a massive amount of sacrifice. And I think I just, we, I'm really struggling with my words, sorry. I think I just trusted that it would be temporary. We knew that it wasn't going to be forever. But yeah, I think we're in a transition period at the moment where I guess we're trying to get back to that place of being part, like more partners again. It's been, I think our relationship is based on a really strong foundation of friendship, and I think that that has massively carried us through. I think we, oh my gosh, I'm so lost for words. Sorry. I think, yeah, look, they don't really go hand in hand. And I think
it's like a coach can't coach their partner.
Yeah.
Like you just kind of don't do it.
Totally. And I think that that role is not a role that we ever would have desired. Neither of us would have desired for me. And I think it's not like you prepare for that. Like I think it's like one day you wake up.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're a carer and, you're, I guess what you would normally, like, get back from your partner, like, emotionally, physically, mentally, like, just that partnership aspect was none for a year. Yeah. And I think that it's holding on to that hope and that trust that this is a temporary season and we will come out the other side and find, you know, that percentage, I guess, where it's a bit more 50-50, if you will. But it wasn't like that for a very long time. And I think that with the funding, when we were able, through like so much generosity from like strangers and a good friend of ours, Brooke, we were able to get a car modified for Johnny, and so he could start driving himself. Pre that, every appointment, and I guess what people would see on social media of us at appointments and maybe be confused why I was at all appointments, was because he couldn't get anywhere without me.
And your family is not here as well.
Yeah.
Everyone's in New Zealand.
Yeah. I mean, we've been very fortunate. My family have been over a lot, like the first 6 months when we were in hospital. Mum was here for 6 weeks and then we didn't really get left for that long before someone else would tag team and come in. Yeah. I just want to say like a massive shout out to them, because we wouldn't have survived.
Absolutely.
Without them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just everything. And I wanted to add that, I think, with, you know, it's so easy, I think, to focus on the big pieces of like generosity or these big things, which are so phenomenal and amazing. And we're just, there's like never thank you and we're so grateful just never ever seems like enough. Yeah. It doesn't suffice like how you actually feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, the time and the energy and just the love and like encouragement that I didn't go a day without hearing from someone in my family, calling, messaging, and they're just phenomenal and amazing. Just love them so much. And then also we have really good friends, Nick and Ella, and I just feel like an honorable mention to them.
Totally.
Because they've really just stuck with us as well, and they helped me move house 5 times. Like, that was a big That's we huge. Obviously why relocated to Brisbane and moved multiple times around there. We had the Applegarths, and then also Dev and David. I lived
The Hamiltons.
Yeah, lived in, with them, with family, friends. And, I think just those, to kind of, I guess, carry on to the things that support, there is just so many different ways, I think, to support people.
Mm.
And food is a big one. Like, we've had someone that's been every few weeks been dropping around food, which has made the biggest difference. But
yeah, it takes it off your plate. You're able to focus on what you have to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So something so simple that you wouldn't think. But thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think that when we got the car, I probably realized how much more freedom I or we would have had with funding, because I think it was realizing that, yeah, someone else could have come and taken Johnny to appointments, or I could have done that, but there would have been support at home.
NDIS typically has someone who's there to go with you to appointments and be a driver and all the things. Yeah, but that's you.
That is me, yeah. I joke I can add a lot of different things to my resume.
Your resume is full now.
Absolutely.
Well, that actually, like, I can't help but feel like all the things that you've done in life up until this point, the businesses you've had, the experiences you've had in different jobs, like, I feel like it's led you here to just be this incredible pillar in this dynamic. And I see it from an outside, so I don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes. Obviously, no one does. No one will ever comprehend that. But what I see is just like your ability to hold it all and do it all is just so inspiring.
Thank you.
And I don't take it lightly. Like, I see you in what you do. What do you feel like has been like the most, when you look at synchronicity or perfection in like things you've done in the past that has helped you now? I remember you joking around about like you had like a something to do with e-commerce or something. It's like some of the skills that you do with Enjoy Your Legs, you're like, I'm a pro at this because of this job that I had once. But what would you say would be like the most profound? Obviously, like your business and how you help women in mindset and all of that. But is there anything specific you feel like, my goodness, thank God I have that skill set?
Yeah, I think it's been a lot of stepping stones. And I'm a big believer that the small things become the big things. And I feel like, you know, we, in our day-to-day, that's very much a mantra that we live by. I think the investing in myself quite early on, I joke that I invested in my first coach when I was 18 at the end of my first year of uni instead of, like, going to the New Year's festival, like R&B. And at the time, you know, such an interesting decision. But
perfect,
I'm so, I'm so grateful, I think, for those investments that I made in myself. You know, she changed my life. It's a huge reason why I then decided a few years later to expand my knowledge and my education within coaching. But I think to the level of how well I knew myself and the depth that I was willing to explore and understand me is what I guess is ultimately like how I think I've been able to hold what I do. I was joking with my mum the other day. I think I had so much knowledge. Like, I love like personal development books and invested in a lot of programs and podcasts and very much I think done that inner work behind the scenes, like applied that knowledge, because knowledge without action is simply knowledge. And I guess I don't think anything will ever prepare you for something like this, but it was almost like, here you go, like you can apply, how embodied are you in all of these things? And I think it really illuminates ultimately I think who you are at your core.
Yeah. Well, it shines through.
Thank you.
I call them a secret weapon.
Oh, yeah. I think
and
everybody,
I'm trying to make it not so secret because, she deserves all the recognition. Like, Charlie's just been the biggest part of this journey in terms of the positive mindset that we have. Is a lot of it's driven by Charlie.
I love you too.
You're the best.
I think as well, if I can carry on from that, I know like there's a lot of conversations that people have, or maybe I think, you know, your openness and curiosity to try new things is a really big piece. And I think in credit to you, you've always been open to like understanding what I'm doing. You may not have tried it. You're kind of like, cool, that's your thing. I'm not really into it. But I think in that you have seen me invest in a lot of different things over the years. And I think that when it then came to this, anything that I kind of said to you, I think we were going to try this or I'd love to try this, you're like, yeah, I'm open to whatever. And I think there was also that level of trust, because most of the therapies that we have invested in and continue to, I guess, support you with are things that I've done pre-accident. So it wasn't like a new thing. It was just some things were new for you to try yourself, but there was a trust because you'd seen me do them beforehand.
Yeah. Well, I really want to celebrate you guys, your love and your strength. It's just, yeah. I think I've said this to you before, but it's like hearing your story and getting to know you guys better, like you kind of left a bit speechless because you're just like so in awe of the strength that you guys hold together.
Thank you.
How do you feel like this has changed you guys individually and as a couple? Do you feel like, well, I think this is a silly question. Do you feel like you've changed? I feel like you've changed. How do you feel like you've changed?
I would say I've done a lot of inner work. Open the emotional floodgates, the emotional availability. Yeah, I think a lot has changed upstairs for me in terms of my outlook and perception and mindset. And like Charlie alluded to before, like I've always been open to the things, but having to fully embrace or practice these, these mindset things has probably been the biggest change for me. And then as a couple, I think we've fluctuated between care relationship, partner relationship. Like there's just so many things going on. We've grown immensely together.
You can see that.
Yeah, like it hasn't been easy. By no means. It's been some of the most stressful and challenging times of our lives, but yeah, I wouldn't want to be doing it with anybody else, really. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's, and we speak about that a lot with you, like it's a whole, it's like everything that you once thought that you knew about life is no more. And, you know, I think you really learn who you are underneath all of those things when you're in crisis. You know, you learn who your people are in crisis. I think I individually I've changed in the sense that, I think I probably believe in myself a bit more. Like I think that it's taught me, and we say that around you too, of, we're so much more capable than what we believe. And I don't think it needs to take something like this for anyone that's listening to this to just kind of look for more possibility in themselves. I probably have recognized the strength, although I think even hearing, and thank you for, you know, your beautiful compliments and feedback, because I think I probably couldn't tell you how I do what I do either. I think there's a choice of you just move forward, and it is like that one foot in front of the other. I think as a couple, there is just so much love and respect there, and I think we just choose... Yeah, we choose every day that we just move forward together. I think ultimately I knew that I could have been arriving to D-Bar to a very different scene.
Absolutely.
And I remember saying to my dad, I just don't know. I don't know how he got back on his surfboard. Like, I don't know how he came back up. And so I think that there, you know, that's probably where that overwhelming gratitude started from. And I think we continue to come back to that daily, that we're so grateful that Johnny's still here. We're so grateful that we have each other. And, you know, in many ways, like, we got a second chance that, you know, no matter how hard and, like, you know, it's so, I wouldn't pre this have understood what we mean when we say we have a challenging day, because the scope of that is so vastly different to what we used to think a challenging day was. Mm-hmm. But we get to have these challenges because Johnny is alive. And so I think that that's something that I always come back to, like the problems or the challenges that I or we would be navigating on a day to day would be vastly different.
Yeah.
If you hadn't survived the accident.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Oh my gosh. I'm mindful of time, but I want to ask you a few more questions before we wrap up.
Mm.
What's your vision for the future of Enjoy Your Legs? What do you see it becoming? What would you love it to be? What's the direction that it's heading in?
I think a lot more, to align with the name of it is, a lot more events or like running events.
I think it's important to note that with Capital to Coast, we had a worldwide challenge for people to move 120 kilometres in 31 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was over 200 people in that. And it was just the coolest thing.
9 different countries, I think, in the end.
Yeah.
Which was insane. It was like Mexico and like places that we were like,
That's beautiful.
That get there.
And I think that collective movement of moving and enjoying your bodies, you know, we had wheelchair users that did that as well. And it was, just so cool, I think, that the gratitude for what you have and being able to move with what you do have. So, I guess like Johnny said, a lot more events.
We had, there was one participant in that challenge that lost 9 kg over that month as well.
You're just changing lives, guys.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's such a ripple, like what you've started is creating such a ripple effect. Like, you're not just getting people to move their bodies, you're getting them to be more health conscious and have phenomenal health results, changes in their bodies, dopamine, brain changes, like all those little things, which then impacts their family and the people that they hang out with and the work that they do and how awake and happy they feel. Like, it's just so beautiful to kind of see that from a bird's eye view. Hope you guys see that, what you're doing. It's so cool.
So, it's probably like the event side of thing. We obviously want to get this podcast, whether that'll be tied to Enjoy Your Legs or not, I'm not sure yet.
You're also an adaptive surfer now. Can you tell us about that, please?
Adaptive surfing, yeah.
I loved watching you guys go to Hawaii and do that. Please share the experience. What was it like?
The first time getting back in the water? Or the Hawaii or
all of it. Let's rewind for a minute. We didn't even talk about like water therapy or you getting back in the water.
Yeah.
It's been 18 months and the fact is that you have been back in water. You've entered an adaptive surfing competition since then. Like, let's talk about that.
Yeah, the first time in the hydrotherapy pool in the hospital was a emotional one, I'd say. I got into the water and then within maybe 10 seconds I was just like, kind of had a bit of a panic, I guess, and had a lot of emotions spill out of me. And on one hand it was very soothing, but at the same time it gave me a lot more appreciation for the fact that I actually did make it out of that ocean that day. Like, my legs just felt like dead weights pulling me down and I was like, I really don't know how I didn't sink that day.
Yeah, survival.
So there was that aspect of getting back into the water for the first time, which is just the pool, and then getting back into the ocean for the first time. It was Tally Creek. That was just like, oh, so good.
Get the just salt like, oh, on your skin.
I was like, I miss this place. You know, that was actually a really positive experience, which was, really special and to experience that. So that was, it was a good start to get back. And then didn't really have an opportunity to say no to not getting back on a surfboard. Had that organised by Charlie and the Collis family. And before you knew it, I was, on a 9-foot foamy paddling out to Crumbinelli, and they sort of got me on the board and away I went.
Amazing. And,
that was nice to get back to that point, because the ocean and surfing is very much my happy place.
Yeah, it's so therapeutic.
Very therapeutic, yeah. Mm. Like, you're just surrounded in nature. You got,
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
So will there be more surf comps?
Yeah, that's the plan. Go hard at the surf comps next year.
Love it.
I competed, like you mentioned, at the Byron comp, which was March last year, and then the Byron comp. And then we were lucky enough to be supported by Grant from Red Arrow, who basically sponsored us to go to the Hawaii event.
Amazing.
Which Hawaii is amazing.
Yes.
Like, so cool. The water's so warm. The ocean's beautiful over there. So
the
people
are beautiful.
Yeah, the people. Yeah. We've made a really good connection with some Hawaiian people over there. So looking forward to hopefully being able to go back to that one. More surfing is definitely on the horizon. There's three stops. So there's the Byron, the Hawaii, and then I think the third stop this year is going to be in France. Maybe.
Oh, amazing.
And then there's the ISA sort of world title event as well, which is later in the year. It's just been this year, but the goal for that is to get it into the Paralympics for 2032, the Brisbane
Amazing.
Games. So I'm not going to be eligible for the Paralympics by then, but that's
it.
Where the sport is heading, and all the regulations and fine tuning is happening at the moment. So it's cool to be a part of that.
And maybe Enjoy Your Legs will be like part of that in a different way. Part of the Olympics. That's so cool,
guys.
That'd
be so special, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd love to do, I think a lot more speaking and talking. We had a few of our friends actually teachers and have shared with their classrooms, like, I guess, Enjoy Your Legs. And they, to flow on from this, like, I guess, that journey of surfing and getting back into the ocean and then where we kind of want Enjoy Your Legs to go. I think, being able to share those lessons and that story as well. And I guess Johnny jokes, he didn't really have a choice. I think I realized how important, for both of us, it's been a complex relationship. The ocean, I think it was our happy place, and what happened in the ocean, we could go very deep on that. We do with Taylor in terms of all the different energies associated around the ocean. But I think I just knew that you loved doing that.
Yeah.
And
rebuilding,
it was your
relationship with the ocean.
It was like your meditation space too, being in the ocean and going for a surf. So, that was very special to be able to facilitate. And I think for you to have so much, it's finding the joy. It's like a joy and fun menu, like finding those things that you love doing again and, making new memories and moving forwards.
Yeah.
But, back on that public speaking kind of thing.
Here we go.
If that's what I want to put out there into the universe, is that we would love to do that.
Share your story.
So if someone wants us to come and share our story of resilience, then we're your people.
Well, you've done a phenomenal job.
Wow,
today.
Darling. I didn't know you were going to say that today.
Neither did I, but,
Surprise.
Here we are.
I love it. Well, I think your story needs to be shared. That's why I wanted you guys on the show. I just feel like everybody needs to hear it, and just I think different people will take different things away from you guys. But what you're doing and how you're sharing it is amazing. So please don't stop, because it's just, like I said before, like it's just creating such a really beautiful ripple effect. And I'm so invested in like this, like seeing you walk, Johnny. Like I will be there. I'm your number one fan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before I let you guys go, I wanted to end on asking you, what would you say would be like the one thing that you are most grateful for right now?
I will never go past being grateful for my incredible partner, Charlie, because I wouldn't be here today without her. There is no way that I would have come this far or survived this long without her. So just incredibly grateful for her and her sacrifices and her love. And yeah, she just speaks so much life over me. So love you, babe.
I love you too. Oh, I didn't think you were going to say that. I'm just really grateful. Well, I'm really grateful for you, Shani, and grateful for the opportunity to be here. I think I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for so many things. I couldn't say one, but I think I'm grateful for where we're at, that we can sit here together and have this conversation.
So big, yeah.
And, yeah, I'm really grateful for the people that we have surrounding us constantly that, yeah, support us on the really hard days but cheer so loud on when we win as well. Mm-hmm. I think having that is incredible. And then I think, yeah, all the people and the practitioners that we work with, I'm just grateful to be able to speak with you on a daily basis, darling, and, you know, give you a hug and start. I'm really grateful. This time last year we were still in hospital. And I have been, I think, in preparation for this, but also in December is a year since we got out of hospital.
Yeah, it's around the corner.
Yeah, I think so grateful for all of the things that we've done this year and the people that have supported us to facilitate that, and also to be able to start making plans, because this time last year it was so day by day. Like we couldn't make plans probably more than 2 days in advance.
Wow.
And, you know, I've started booking in things for business for next year, or started chatting about things. And for some people listening, that might not be a big deal, but for us, that's massive. Yeah. That we get to forecast and know that we probably will be able to commit to that. We won't have to pull out or whatever that looks like. So actually being able to start looking a bit further ahead, I'm really grateful for that.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, both of you, for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor. Honestly, yeah. I've loved getting to know you two better, and we'll love to continue getting to know you and following your journey. And I'll put all of the links in the show notes as well in regards to your GoFundMe, how to get in touch with you if people want to work. I feel like everybody needs a Charlie in their back pocket. Like, oh, my God. The Wholeness Hub.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put all of the links for Enjoy Your Legs, anything else that you guys give me. It's all in the show notes, so you will find it there. Just want to honour you both.
Thank you.
Just, thank you so much, Shani. Yeah.
So grateful to talk to you today. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Wait. Before you go, can I share something crazy with you? So our statistics tell us that 83% of you listening right now don't actually follow the show. And so I wanted to extend the invite. If you loved this episode and took some value away, please do go ahead and hit subscribe or follow to the show on whichever platform you're listening on. It really does make such a huge difference and really helps to support the show. You have no idea how much that little number helps support a self-funded podcast like this. It really helps us to keep bringing more episodes with incredible guests, and the larger the number, the bigger our guests get to be. Plus, it means you'll always be notified when an episode drops without you having to go and look for it. And if you're on Spotify, I wanted to extend the invite to head on over to the Q&A section below. Let's continue the conversation. I would love to hear and read what you have to say, and I always reply. Speaking of connection, I'd also love for you to come and say hello over on Instagram. My handle is at Shani Peach, and it's where I show up the most. I share raw behind the scenes, and it's really where our community comes alive. So I'd love to invite you along. I read every single message that pops into my inbox, and I reply to all of them. So tell me what resonated from today's episode, because I would genuinely love to hear from you. And if you're new here and wanting to dive deeper into some work, our most listened to and shared episodes are episode 2 on nurturing your relationship with money, episode 3 on unlocking the power of your vision, and episode 4, it's all about surrendering to the how and trusting that things will unfold perfectly in divine timing for you. These episodes have transformed so many lives, so if you haven't listened yet, go back and start there, episode 2, 3, and 4. I've also created a whole library of free resources for you over at shanithompson.com. I'll pop the link in the show notes below. I've got free workshops, guided meditations, and tools to support you on your growth journey. Everything is there waiting for you. And last but not least, we are running a competition right now. Once we hit 100 reviews, I am gifting a limited edition Beats by Dre by Kimi K earbuds to one lucky listener. To be in the running, simply leave a review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this with anyone who you feel would really resonate with the message. And just thank you for being part of this journey with me. I genuinely love being in your ears. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.